Yeah, in case you guys don't remember my name is Joey. Here to speak for you guys today. So good to be here. The passage that I was going to be speaking on today is going to be from Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. So if you guys can open to that, it's Matthew 6, 31 through 34. It's also on the screen, so just if you guys didn't come prepared. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us pray. God, I thank you so much for bringing us here, Lord. I thank you for these brothers and sisters that have come to join me, Father. It's an honor to be here, God. It's an honor for me to be here to worship amongst fellow believers, God. So would you be with us here tonight, Father, as we worship you, Lord? Would you speak to us, God? Would you humble us, Lord? I thank you for this community, Father. Would you build us up? Would we encourage each other, Father? Would we challenge each other, Lord? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So where we are right now is, I think we're still going through Sermon on the Mount. To be honest, I wasn't here the last couple weeks, so I'm not sure if we finished up or not. But that's where I'm preaching on, because that's where I felt led to do. And where we are at right now is when Jesus is talking about not being anxious. The passage before that was about treasures in heaven. And earlier, you know, to just go further into not be anxious, it's that famous passage on, like, look at the flowers, look how beautiful they are, look at the birds, and look at the world around you. I provide for all those things. And the Lord calls us not to be anxious. He says, look at how I provide for the birds. How much more would I provide for my sons and daughters? That's kind of where I want to pick up. Starting from verse 31. It says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And something I wanted to address in the beginning is just how this passage is very different from the passage right before about laying up your treasures in heaven. You know, if you read about this a little carefully, it says, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? Eating and drinking and clothing yourself, those are necessities. Those are things that you need. You never look at, you know, like trying to eat and saying like, oh, you're storing up treasures on earth. Like, no, you're just trying to live. It's different. And so I believe what the Lord is trying to address here is not greed or you using your wealth as a place of security. And he's addressing something a little different. You know, you would never look at someone who wants to buy food and saying, oh, you're so greedy. You never look at someone who's drinking a lot of water after a hard day and saying, like, you're so prideful, you're so greedy. You know, and clothes are still like a necessity. You know, I at least I hope it is for everyone here. If you walk around naked, that's, we'll talk about that later. And that's where we are, you know. And I always thought that it's so interesting that he would say these things. Because if there's anything that you should be anxious or worried about, it's about providing for yourself and surviving in this earth. Like the things that, you know, you'd be concerned about would be, what do you eat? Like, how am I going to drink? How am I going to provide for myself? How am I going to have shelter? And if there's anything that I would ever be worried about, I think those are things that actually would be good for you to be concerned about. But the Lord asks us not to be anxious about those things and not to care about those things. And I don't think he's meaning to say this so that it's like free range for you to be foolish and reckless. Like, you can't just spend all your money and just like, I don't care. God will provide for me. I'm going to spend all my money. I'm not going to budget. I'm going to eat all the food I want. I'm going to buy nice things. Like, that's not what the Lord is saying. And if you think about it, this is a common theme that the Lord brings us throughout the Bible. I forgot where this quote was from, but there's a scholar that says, there is scarcely any sin against which our Lord Jesus more warns his disciples than disquieting, distracting, distrustful cares about the things of his life. Now, if we go to the next slide, it says, you don't have to turn to this, but it's from Exodus 16, verse 6. It says, so Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble against? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. And so this passage is from Exodus. It's where the Lord is sending manna down from the sky in the morning, and he sends quail down in the evening. And it's when the Israelites are freed from Egypt, and they're wandering the desert, and they're asking God, would you provide for us? And the Lord chooses to provide for them by sending them all these things every day. But he says, you only pick up your portion for the day. You know? And if that was me, I think I'd get frustrated. Like, why don't you just give us a whole bunch at a time? Like, what's your problem, you know? Because it's true, you know, like, why don't you just give us, like, more than enough? But he chooses to give you only what you need at every single time. And I think there's a lesson, because this lesson is throughout the Bible. It's not new that the Lord says, do not be concerned about troubles tomorrow, about providing for yourself, but it's something that he does throughout. Jesus tells the disciples when they go out in twos, only carry one pair of one cloak at a time, and it says, you will trust in me. And very similarly, I believe it's a lesson that he is teaching us, saying that I am the one that provides for you. You may think that you are the one that holds your destiny. You may think that you're the one that provides for yourself, but I'm sorry, I am the one that will give you these things. And for the Israelites that were traveling in Exodus, he was making it really clear that there's no one else you can thank, not your own strength, not the things that you do. I am the one that provides for you every step of the way, and I will not give you more because you'll get prideful. I will not get you more because you will lose sight of who has provided these things for you. So every day, I am going to remind you that your food, your shelter, your life comes from me. And I think that's something very similar that Jesus is talking about today, or in this passage, I mean. You know, and it's so interesting because when you read it more, if you read the rest of the chapter in Exodus, it says that they never had lack. Didn't matter how much they picked up, they never had lack. And I was thinking about this today and like, what does it mean for us to be anxious about these things, this food and water and providing for ourselves? And I think it's different from you being concerned about those things because God calls you to be a good steward. He's not calling you to be reckless and foolish. And very much like how he provided quail and manna for the people, like the Lord provides, but you still got to pick that up. The Lord provides food for you and quail for you, but you still got to pick it up. But you still recognize that all that stuff is coming from the Lord and only the Lord. And he says this, and right after he says that, he says the Gentiles do the same. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, I feel like he says the same thing. He contrasts what the Israelites or the Jews were doing at the time and says, that's what everyone else does. And he's creating a distinction of what it means to be Christian and what it means to be non-Christian. And he's saying that everyone worries about those things. Everyone has anxieties. Everyone believes that like what they do is what provides for them. And like, what is it that makes you distinct from someone who does not believe in the Lord? And the more I live my life, the more I grew up, I realized we live in a world that says you need to get yours done. You need to protect what's yours. You're the one that provides for yourself. You're the master of your own life. You're the one that calls the shots. You're the one that's going to provide for you. And I think as we continue to live that life, we get this cold realization that we are actually not in control. There are so many things that no matter how hard you try are just not in your control. And I think that is the place where we find anxiety, where we want to control every aspect of our lives. We want to control where we go, how we provide ourselves. And as we learn, as we grow up and we live our lives, we realize that there's so many things that are not in control that brings fear in our lives and that brings anxiety and it cripples us. Because you realize that everything you are, everything you can try to do is not nearly enough to protect and control the life that you want to live. And I think the distinction between what it means to be Christian and what it means to be not Christian is you recognize that although you're not in control, there's a Father in heaven that has control and that you can trust. And that's where I think the last verse of the last line of those two verses says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And when I read that, I feel like the Lord asked me, like, do you believe in me? Do you trust that I'm going to provide for you? You know, I go through my life and I have a lot of anxieties. There's a lot of fears that I face. And whenever I face them, I remember the Lord asked me, he's like, do you believe that I'm the one that holds your life in your hands? You know, and I know a lot of people, I mean, we've been to church long enough, we've heard this passage before, and it's so good. I believe every single word I said right now. I believe that I should trust in the Lord, and I believe all these things, but I was wondering, like, what does that really look like in my life? Like, what does it really mean for me to believe and trust these things? Like, I'm 21 now, I'm going to be 22 soon. I realize that. And I got a job now, so I feel like a man. And I provide for myself, and I wake up every morning, and I put my big boy pants on, and I go, like, God is good, you know? Like, I'm not afraid at all. I'm ready to chase the morning, and I read off all the Bible verses that I memorize, like, many of the plans in the minds of men, but it's the purpose of the Lord that stands. I don't even know what that means sometimes, but, like, yes, God is good, and I go out, you know? But if I can be really honest with myself, I think 99% of the time, I'm freaking out. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm 21. I'm a dummy. And there's so many things that I don't know, you know? And I want to convince myself and convince the people around me that, you know, like, I preach, you know, like, I know the Lord, and then I'm confident in myself. But if I can be completely honest, I have no idea what I'm doing. I freak out all the time. And I read these things, I go like, amen, 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 but I don't believe it, I'll be honest. I remember I was talking to my brother recently, and he went through some hard stuff the last year. Helicon always told me that maybe I shared too much about my family, but I'm going to do it anyways. He went through some hard stuff last year, you know. He's been married for about 2 years now, but a year ago, his father-in-law passed away. That was really tragic. And it was a moment where, like, yes, he was a man before, but there was something different that happened during that time. Because before then, he was taking care of his wife, but now it became he has to take care of his wife, take care of his mother-in-law and his brother-in-law, and he kind of became a man of the household. And I can see distinctly how he was kind of a boy before, but now he's a man. You know, I was talking to him, and I was talking about some of the struggles I've had, and, like, they were hard and stuff like that, but he looked at me one day, and he's like, I'm sorry, brother, that's life, you know? He, like, had no sympathy for me. He's like, that's life. And I saw in his eyes, you know, this man has lost. And I saw in his life, I saw in his eyes that he knew what it meant to live in this world and continue to be faithful. And anxieties in life are always going to find you. So this passage is not saying that you will never feel anxieties or fears. Like, that's life. Everywhere you go, you're going to be faced with situations that you don't know what the answer to is. They're going to be faced with situations where you have necessities in your life, things that you need, and you will not find that anywhere. And I remember I was talking to my brother, and I can tell he was scared and he was nervous about it. But I remember he told me, but still I know that God is there with me. And that's beginning what I really found out, what it means to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord is not to avoid your problems and run away from it and say, like, nothing's a problem. You fight tooth and nail for that truth. You go home every day and you say, God, things are hard right now. I don't know how I'm going to make money. I'm not going to pay rent. I don't know if I'm going to find a job when I graduate. I don't know where I'm going the next year, you know? And you're so anxiety. Actually, I might know where I'm going next year, but you might be a little scared, but you fight for that truth. And you go home every night and you say, God, do I really believe that you are the one that holds my life in your hands? You go home every night and do you believe that he's the one that breathed creation into being? And if that's not true, you fight for that. And so the path... Phones away, please. You're distracting me. And that's what I believe the Lord is doing right now. The Lord is fighting against this feeling of independence that every Christian or every person in this life holds on to. This feeling that you're the one that can control everything and you're the one that believes that you can change the destiny of your lives. The Lord is saying, no, that's not true, but I'm the one that's going to be there with you. Let me go on to the next verse. It's going to be Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. You know, and I believe what he's doing in this passage, he's correcting the vision that we're supposed to have. I believe that every person who's born in this world has a vision that they're born with, and that is that they're the king of their lives, and they're the one that calls the shots. But God is saying, would you change your perspective? I want to let you see things clearly for the first time in your life. And what that is I'm the one that will provide for you. I'm the one that you truly need. He's asking us to turn away from the world and turn to him, turn away from our self-righteousness and the things that we know, but turn to God and know that he will be the one that truly provides for you. But I think underneath that passage is also another truth. It says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. It says, do not seek first all these worldly things that you think are necessities. I will show you what you truly need. And he's allowing us to open our eyes to this new mode of life where we believe that we're not only fleshly beings. I believe that our greatest hurt and our greatest need is not food or water, but it's our souls that need the Lord. And he talks about this time and time again. Earlier this passage, it says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. You know, and you read about how when Jesus first enters into Jerusalem, all the people and the Jews in Jerusalem thought that he would be a conqueror. They thought that Jesus would come and free them from captivity. They'd free them from the oppression that they faced from Roman citizens. But little did they know that he came to free them from something so much more than that. That the real thing that they need saving from, the real areas in life that they need freeing from was through sin and death. And the Lord is allowing us, can you open your eyes to see what you truly need? I think anxiety is such a prideful thing for me to have. Because it's me telling God that I know what I need and I know what I want better than what you do. And the Lord reminds me, I know you think that you're smart, but I believe that I'm the one that's going to show you what you really need. Later he finishes up that verse by saying, these things will be added onto you. And it's a vote of confidence saying that if you trust in me, I will provide everything you need. And I love how Jesus says, he only talks about necessities right now. I am not saying that when you follow God that he's going to give you everything you want. That has not been the case for me. I'm not saying that you'll have riches beyond all measure. I'm not saying that you'll live lavishly. But he says you'll have exactly what I want you to have. And would you find comfort in that? And if you don't find comfort in believing that Jesus will give you exactly what you need, I think that's you thinking that you know what's best for yourself. I think that's you thinking that you're better than God and you know your life better than he does. And God is breaking down the lie in your body that says you know what's best for you. He says, I will give you exactly what you need. I remember there were times where me and my friends would just say, like, the Lord gives abundantly to his children. And we thought that we were going to live a lottery or something like that. But I realized that's just not the case. Maybe that's for the best. And later in the chapter, or in the next verse, that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. It says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And this is kind of how he kind of wraps up this passage on anxiety. And he's warning us again of what it really means to be anxious, what it means to be anxious not to trust in the Lord, and how futile that is. But he's also providing for us a way to really enjoy our life to what he has called us to do. I think worry and anxiety is the thing that cripples my walk with God the most because it allows me to detract myself from the blessing that he gives me today. Because I'm not satisfied with what he has to offer me, because I'm not satisfied with the world, what the Lord has given me, and I desire other things, I'm unable to really connect with what God is doing at this time. And I think that is a disservice to you and that's a disservice to God because you're missing out on blessings every day then. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all understanding. And I believe that what the Lord is doing throughout the whole Bible is to give us a clarity in our vision of what it really means to see things as they really are. If you see things in the lens of the Lord, you will know that you are exactly where the Lord wants you to be. Like, do you believe that God is the God of all gods? Do you believe that he's the kingdom of heaven and earth? Do you believe that he's the one that spoke and all creation came into being? If you truly know who God was, you will never be anxious. If you truly knew who God was, there would be never fear in your heart because you go knowing that he walks before you and walks behind you. And he's waking us up to this reality of who God is. And it's something that I have to test my heart with. Do I really believe in God at every moment of my life? How real is God to me? And I realize more often than not that God is not really real to me most of the time. In the Bible, it says that God is El Shaddai, God Almighty, all-sufficient one. Not semi-sufficient, not medium-sufficient. He says, all sufficient. And that's a truth that I think we need to reflect our hearts with at all times. Do I really believe that God is all sufficient? Can I trust him with my whole life and in its entirety? And if that is not the case, that's something you need to pray about and work through. And it doesn't come by just saying, waking up one morning and just saying, God is good and I believe in that. No, it's something you fight for. It comes with tears and it causes you to die to yourself. It should change the very aspect and the very way that you approach the Lord. Do you go into your quiet times believing that God is all sufficient and he's the truth in your life? Or do you go in feeling like a beggar or feeling like that he's a merchant that you haggle and bargain with? I know it got kind of serious, but this passage should be very comforting to everyone. I think it's very comforting because it reminds me that, thank God, I am not the one who controls everything in my life. I'm a loser. I don't know anything. But I know that there's a God in heaven who is perfect that controls everything, and that should bring comfort into you. There's such a joy in that. There's such a freedom. And that is a freedom that God wants you to live in every day. And I was just thinking about this passage all week, and I was thinking about everyone here all week, and I was just wondering, so what does this really mean for us? So basically what this passage is saying, that there is a way of freedom that we're allowed to live, a freedom from anxieties and fears, and we can step into that by trusting in the Lord. What does that mean? What does that look like? And I'm sure it means a variety of things, but there's two things I want to focus on. The one thing is that it should change inside the way that you interact with God. There should be a stark difference of what that looks like. When you truly believe that God is a God of all sufficiency, that God is a God that controls everything in your life, that should change the very dynamic you have with him. Every situation, although you might be filled with fears, anxieties, and uncertainties, it should be overcome and overlapped by the sense of security that you find in God. It's that moment of sobriety, that moment of relief where you find out, I finally found the rock that I've been trying to build my life on. Your whole life, you've been trying to build your life upon yourself or your merits and your strength, and you say, thank God, I found the one thing that I can truly build my life upon. The one thing that is steadfast, the one thing that is allowing me to continue to do the things that the Lord has called me to do. It should bring you comfort and joy, and it should bring you a sense of peace that you've never experienced before in your life. And that's so good. That's amazing. But it cannot end there. I believe that this whole, the Bible itself, everything that the Lord preaches, it brings us to a place of comfort, but we're not called to stay in comfort. We have a security that we've never experienced before. We have a security that the world does not have, and that pushes us to live in places of uncomfortability. And that's the second thing I want to talk about today, what this actually looks like in our lives. If you read this passage and if you hear this message and you think that, oh good, I can live my life in comfort, I can live my life in the way that I can be comfortable and never stretch and never go out on a limb and never go in faith, then I think you missed the whole passage. The reason why the Lord is saying do not be anxious, do not be nervous, do not be scared of the future is because you can trust in me, is so that you can go out in faith and do the things that he has called you to do. The Lord never calls you to stay in that place of comfort that he calls you to be in church with. He calls you to go out. And I think everything that he talks about, it falls under, he says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord, but the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The greatest commission is to go out and make forth disciples of all different nations. And nothing that he says makes me to believe that we're supposed to stay in our own comfort and stay in our own comfort zones. It is exactly because we have security and that we have steadfast love, we have a rock that we built upon, that he allows us to go forth in faith and to be stretched by him. And I think even in my life, this desire for comfort, this desire to not leave the areas in my life that I feel secure in has been a poison to my walk with God. It's areas in my life that cripple me the most. Because when I read the Bible, it shows me that the people of the Bible, they lived lives of such faith and of such glory and such movements. And none of them were in places of comfort. But I know in my own life that the things I value the most is just to be comfortable and to be safe in my own sphere of circles. But when I read this, it reminds me that I am allowed to go forth and do things that I am not able to do because God is with me. I remember I was just reading my QTs and I realized that so much of what Jesus says is about, in the end of the day, this passage is not even about not being anxious, not about not being worried, it's not about not being nervous or anything like that. In the end of the day, I think what he's calling us to do, would you die to yourself? Would you die to your desires? Would you die to the things that you think you know? And as you die to yourself, would you live in me? I believe that the Lord is looking out upon this congregation and looking for people. Is there a group, a new generation of Christians that will stand up for my name? That will do things that the world has not seen in a while? Would you be the ones that stand up and do things that the church is not willing to do? Would you go to places that people will never go? Would you say things that people will never say? Would you love people in a way that no one has loved before? Because God calls me to be in a place where I love with abandonment, because I have everything I need in him. And I think that's kind of where I wanted us to sit in that today. Yes, this is about not being anxious. Yes, it's about trusting the Lord. But in the end of the day, I think the question that connects everything together, would you die to yourself? Would you die to what you believe? Would you live in what Christ has given to you? And I think it's in that place of security where you'll find freedom to do things in faith that you've never done before. You might be scared to go out on a limb and go in faith to something that God's called you to do. And in those moments, you look to yourself and say, I know that my God will provide for me. And I'll honor that calling. I heard someone tell me that salvation is free, but a calling costs everything. I know a lot of us here are young and we're ready to start our lives. And it's time for us to start thinking of what is my calling in life? What are ways that can be used by the Lord? None of those things will be comfortable. I guarantee it. None of those things will be what you imagined it to be, but all those things will have glory and wonder in it that you can never imagine. And all those things of going in faith and answering your calling and moving in the Spirit and going out in faith can only be done if you believe that God is the one that will provide for you. Because if you go out alone, not trusting the Lord, you're going to die. Because God calls you to things that are impossible by yourself. And so he's looking out upon these people and saying, who will go in my name? Who trusts me enough to believe that I will provide for them every single way? But who would choose to be uncomfortable for me? Let us pray.